Good morning, everybody. It's great to see you. If you will be turning in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, if you have the Bible with you. It's great to see you all today, and hopefully you're having a good weekend, a Memorial Day weekend, and it's great to be able to spend time with our families and also to remember those who have served and have given their lives for us to have the freedoms that we have in this country. And so it's a good time to do both of those. And I want to talk a little bit this morning about family and about how the Bible says that we as the church are a family. I think about Memorial Day and I think about how you have in military companies, you have all of these people from different walks of life that are brought together to be one close-knit group of fighting people, fighting for a good cause. And in a lot of ways, the church is the same way. The church is a band of brothers where God takes people from every different walk of life and brings them together in His body, the church, and causes them to fight the good fight of faith. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 1, we have this term, brethren, that Paul uses in order to talk to fellow Christians. And this was not just something that Paul did one time. In fact, in these two short letters of 1 and 2 Thessalonians, he uses the term brethren 20 times. And so he certainly is emphasizing this idea that there is a familial bond, that they are family, that they are part of the same family that has the same spiritual father. And so, just like a band of brothers would fight a good fight as Christians, 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul told Timothy to fight the good fight of faith. And 2 Timothy 4, 7, he said he's fighting the same fight. He said, I fought a good fight. We today as Christians are involved in a spiritual warfare. And we are brought together to kind of be a band of brothers in that way to help one another out. And I think that this chapter of 1 Thessalonians 2 gives us a lot of good things to think about as far as the church being a family. We've noticed the term brethren in verse 1. But if you go down to verse 7, you find that Paul's relationship to these Thessalonian converts was characterized by him as being a mother with her children. He says in verse 7, we were gentle among you even as a nurse cherishes her children. Now, the term is nurse, but it does talk about her children. And so we're talking about a nursing mother here. Can you think of any illustration that would be as tender as this one given by Paul here? As a nursing mother takes care of her children, that's the way that he was gentle among his Thessalonian converts. And so as fellow Christians, we need to have that type of attitude as well towards one another. We need to be tender and compassionate and loving toward one another. Didn't Jesus say in John 13:35, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one toward another. If we want the world to know that we truly are God's people, then we've got to have love one toward another. In the first century, the people that were not Christians, in fact, there was one ancient writer who was a Roman writer that was not a Christian, he made this comment. He said, behold how these Christians, how they love each other. Could the same thing be said of us today? And so we need to have the compassion that a mother would have for her children. Now, this would include laying down our lives for them in the sense of dying for them. You know, a mother or a father would not hesitate to run into the house that's burning down in order to rescue their children if their children were in the house. And the Bible does say in 1 John 3, verse 16, that because Jesus laid down his life for us, we ought also to be willing to lay down our lives for the brethren. But you know, laying down your lives for the brethren is not just the concept of being able to die for them in 10 seconds of bravado. It means service, day in and day out. And what this says to me as a preacher, you know, it would be easy to get up and give a speech, but it's a little bit different when you're actually willing to give your own life. Look at the very next verse. He says, "We were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherishes her children. So, being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own lives." King James says souls. It is a lot easier to give a speech than it is to give your life. But you think about a mother, a nursing mother that's up every 2 hours with that little child. Think about how if the child is sick and has a fever, that mother is up all hours of the night, and it's a continual drain on her batteries to watch after that child. That's the type of service that we ought to have for one another as Christians. And so, as a mother loves her children, we ought to lay down our lives day in and day out for our brethren. Why? Because we're family. Because 1 Timothy 3:15 says that we are the household or the family of God. And so we have the term brethren in verse 1. We have this idea of the mother here in verse 7, a tender illustration. And then Paul also talks about how he felt in some ways like he was a father. In verse 11, he says, "And you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his children." And so a father might encourage his children in certain ways and try to give them heart or hearten them to do what he knows that they can do. And so Paul compares himself not only to a mother, but also to a father. Before I got married, when I was a college kid, I suppose if I wanted to hang out someplace till 3 in the morning, as long as I wasn't doing anything wrong or sinful, I could do that. But you know, when you get married, you're responsible to somebody else. You know, I felt when I got married, I was like, I have trouble enough keeping track of myself. And now I've got to make sure that I factor somebody else in this matter. And then when you have kids, you're like, so they've just entrusted this little soul to me? And so I guess I've come a long way from wondering if I can still even take care of myself to being married and having children. But, you know, before I was married, if I wanted to do that, if I wanted to stay out till 3 in the morning, I guess that was my business. But once you say I do, it's your wife's business too, isn't it? She deserves to know where I am at all times, doesn't she? And I deserve to know where she is. And when I became a father, basically what I've done is I've committed myself to being available to my children the rest of my life. Especially, yes, when they're in the home. It's obviously going to wane quite a bit when they leave home. But even then, I've committed myself to be available, to be there for my children the rest of my life. That's part of being a father. And whatever is going on in their lives is my business because I need to be there to help them. A lot of times as people in the church, when there's somebody that is deciding to involve themselves in something that is questionable or is not what God's will is against what the Bible says, there might be maybe elders in the church or maybe different members of the church that kind of check up on that person. And sometimes there's been this sentiment expressed when members of the church check up on some other member of the church, and the sentiment's kind of been this: what business is that? This is my business. It's not their business to check up on me. Guess what? It is. Why? Because we're family. What's going on with my kids and my wife is my business because it's part of my family. And as the church, it is our business to help one another out, spiritually speaking. And so this idea that, well, that's none of your business. No, we're family. We're all part of the family of God, and it is our business to help one another out, do whatever we can to make sure that we're saved in the end. And so I ought to be thankful that I have brothers and sisters in Christ that make it their business to make sure that everything's going well in my life, spiritually speaking, and that they can be there for me and help me out. And even if it comes on times where maybe I need a wake-up call, that they're there, obviously doing it tenderly like a mother would with her children, but they're still there to try to keep me on the straight and narrow. And then the final thing that we find here in 1 Thessalonians 2 that has this idea of us being family is, yes, we mentioned the brethren in verse 1, we mentioned the mother in verse 7, we mentioned the father in verse 11. Now I want to go to verse 17, where it says, "But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavor the more abundantly to see your face with great desire." You know that word taken from you or taken away in some versions? You know that comes from a Greek word that in itself has the word orphan. I have the middle part of that put in bold for you up on the screen. And so when Paul and his companions were no longer with the Thessalonian converts, when because of the riot they had to leave Thessalonica in Acts 17, and they weren't able to stay there with these brethren, he describes it as the idea of being an orphan. I think about a case that happened a few years ago where there was this three-year-old girl who her mother, her biological mother, as soon as she was born, gave her up to be adopted. And this little girl that was 3 years old had been adopted by this loving parents. And the biological mother decided that she was going to fight to get that child back. And there was kind of the picture on the news of this little three-year-old girl who had not ever known anybody but her, I would say, her true parents, that is, the ones that she had grown up with for 3 years. And the ruling of the court was that her biological mother would get her back. And I remember seeing that that little girl being torn away from her parents' arms. And that's how agonizing it was for Paul to be torn away from the brethren that he really wanted to be with and that he really wanted to help. As Christians, do we have that type of attitude when it comes to us not being here, not being able to be with our brethren? Would we take it as seriously as Paul did? If as Christians we just rush in at the last minute and leave before the amen is said, and I realize that there are some reasons why people have to do that, work and things like that, but if we are always doing that and we're never involved in each other's lives on a day-to-day basis, will we ever get to the point where we would be like Paul was with his converts? That to be away, to be ripped away, was agonizing, as almost like a child being orphaned from their parents. You see, there was something special about the relationship Christians had with one another in the first century. And as much as we're trying to restore the New Testament church in all other matters, and the way that we worship and what we call ourselves and what we teach, we need to restore the New Testament church along this line too. In the fellowship that we have with one another, that our brothers and sisters in Christ are so dear to us that we don't want to ever be ripped away from them, the way that Paul had the same attitude towards them. If we have that, that would be contagious, and people would want to be part of the church. And so finally, what I want us to ask ourselves this morning is this: are you part of the family of God? What you need to do in order to be part of the family is to be born into it. Jesus, being approached by Nicodemus in John 3, told Nicodemus that you have to be born again. You have to be born of water and of the Spirit, John 3 and verse 5. And what that means is that you have to obey the gospel by faith, repentance, confession, and baptism. And when you finally culminate your obedience in being buried in that water of baptism, you're born of water and of the Spirit. You're added to God's people. You're part of His family. You come up out of that water being raised to walk in newness of life, Romans chapter 6. And so you can be part of the family of God, and maybe you've been part of the family and you've been astray. Maybe you haven't been available to your family and you've neglected your family in a way that you shouldn't have. We invite you to come back. We want you to be with us. We want you to be one of our brethren, one of the family of God that loves one another and make sure that each other is doing what we can in order to make sure that we're going to go to heaven so we can be with our Father forever when this life's over. And so if you need to respond to the gospel, if you need to be born into the family, or if you need to come back because you've been away, we invite you to come while together we stand and while we sing.
For Jesus, oh my brother, his disciple ever be. Render not to any other what alone the Lord should be. Live for Jesus, live for Jesus. Give him all thou hast to give. On the cross the world's Redeemer gave his life that thou mightst live. Live for Jesus, wandering sinner, under Satan serve no more.